This is Frank's last Sunday as our worship leader. And he's not going anywhere, praise God, so that makes it a little bit easier here. But I think that we would honor God to have a wonderful worship experience and honor this man who's been leading us in worship so long. I mean, there was a Moses, and then there came a Joseph. God just kept passing the anointing on, and we want him to pass that anointing on to him. But we never want to lose sight of what this man has done to get us to this place. As worship leader, thank God he's still going to be our associate pastor. Thank you, brother. And so let's enjoy this moment in him leading us this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be together in your house. We thank you, Lord, that you are Lord of our lives. We declare you're Lord over this room. And Lord, we would welcome your presence to come. Fill this place and cause us to experience the delight and joy of loving you and your love for us. So we give it to you all, Lord, and thank you that you would be glorified over it all. In your name we pray. Amen and amen.
You may stand and worship this morning if you like. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall win the starry crown?
Let's go down. beautiful song. It's very appropriate for the passage I'm about to read and what we're about to do here with baptism. In Acts 16, it says, from Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight in Samothrace, and the next day launched in Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. And one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. That woman trusted in Christ. She listened to the message that the disciples were teaching that day beside the river. And when she heard the good news of what Christ had done for her, she believed. She trusted in Christ. She was born again that day beside the river. And were things so easy, she went right over and got baptized. The reason I love this account is because it shows really the order that these events should take place. No one gets baptized before they trust in Christ. There's no reason to be submerged below the waters and be raised again, symbolizing that you've been buried with Christ and raised, if that has not happened to you in spirit. Both of the women today that are coming to be baptized, like Lydia, they trusted in Christ at earlier points in their life, believed on Him as their Lord and Savior. Today they're coming to follow in baptism. Church family, this is Janet Myers. A lot of you know her very well. She's a real blessing to our church, and she's coming today to be baptized into the priesthood of believers in Christ Jesus. She's trusted in Christ many years ago, and she's also, her baptism is also a baptism into the membership of this church family. We're so glad to have you part of this church, and the work you do in our city as well as mayor. Father God, we thank you so much. Janet. And here this day, we baptize her in obedience to your word, Father, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
faith coming alive this morning? Is your faith coming alive this morning? That is greater than it is in you, right?
Lord, I find you in the seeking. Lord, I find you in the doubt. And to know you is to love you. And to know so little else, how I need you.
about your name, we want to see your face. We are ready.
praise team for leading us in worship. Let's open our Bibles up to 1 Samuel. Chapter 1. While you're turning here, I just want to say thank you to Margaret and Vita. Both put a tremendous amount in, but Kim and so many others who maybe I don't even know, that you did a lot of work helping at the Mother's Day brunch yesterday. I heard it was another great success, and appreciate Donna sharing the word. I've heard good things, Donna. Praise God for bringing you and Josh back home safely to us. Amen. Let's read just a portion of this first chapter of 1 Samuel. Father, would you please, we've been asking for your Holy Spirit to come in this place all morning. And Lord, we've been worshiping you and praising you, Lord, desiring that you would inhabit the praises of your people, because, Father, we didn't just come here for a class or to be taught something. We didn't just come here for the joy of singing. We came here to have an encounter with the living God. We came here for fellowship with you and one another in you, that koinonia fellowship, Christ-centered fellowship. And Father, we want to experience you. As we open your word and we read now, we pray that you very personally would speak to our hearts today. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah, to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion, because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." When she went on her way, it says that her face was no longer downcast. Now, I read this story to you because I want you to see a picture of a mom actually of a woman before she was a mom, who prayed. A woman who prayed from a broken heart. She said that she was filled with bitterness of soul. And she wept much. She suffered at the torment of the other wife. Men, this is why we don't have two wives. Right? It's for this reason. And because Mother's Day would be a lot more expensive for you. So we have one wife. The other wife who had children tormented her. And it says year after year. Year after year. Now what I want you to hear here is that I know Hannah didn't wait to start praying until this account. I know that Hannah had been praying for year after year after year. Why? Because her soul had been grieving for that long. She cried out of this bitterness of soul. She wept before the Lord. She prayed in her heart and poured out her soul. That's her language. She says, I've been pouring out my soul to the Lord. I've been praying here out of great anguish and grief. Why is it so important that we read this story this morning, that we understand how powerful what Hannah did is? Hannah gave birth. She was going through labor pains to give birth long before she was actually with child. Hannah was going through the labor pains of prayer. She was grieving and in bitterness, a wailing, a hurting inside of her. For years, she was in labor. Now I want you to understand something. Hannah, like all women, the gestation of a child is around 9 months. But when you're giving birth to not just any child, when you're giving birth to a prophet of the Most High God, it requires years of birth pains in prayer. God allowed Hannah to be set up. This young lady, she was set up to not be able to have a child. It says that the Lord had closed her womb. She held on in that position of having a closed womb and not being able to have a child. But what she couldn't see at that time was that God had a plan. God had a purpose in that. And the purpose was that that closed womb would cause her heart to be so broken that she would cry out with a prayer that she could never pray if her heart had not been broken. One of my favorite writers on prayer, Mickey Bonner, he wrote a book. It was his last book before he died. And it's called Brokenness, the Forgotten Factor in Prayer. That when we pray from a broken heart, we pray much more passionately. There's much more power. There's much more focus. We're more serious about what we're praying for than when everything is going well for us. God allowed Hannah, this young lady, to bear a great burden. The burden of not being able to bear a child in a society when having children makes you a woman. Makes you who you are. You are defined by how many children you have. And if you want to be the top woman of women, then you've got to have a lot of sons. That's the culture that she's living in. God closes her womb in that culture. And she's broken. And then she puts with her a woman to remind her that she's barren. To remind her day after day and year after year that she's barren. She reminds her not only with the children that she has, that all her children that she flaunts around, but she reminds her with her words, her stabbing words that pierce and wound and hurt and purposely try to put down. And I'm going to tell you, I think Penina did that because she was jealous of the love that Elkanah, the husband, was showing to Hannah over Penina. So Penina was full of jealousy and out of that jealousy, she tried to do all that she could to hurt. This reminds me of another story of another barren woman. And that is the story of Sarai and Abraham. Sarai, remember, gave her maidservant, Hagar, to Abram in order to, what she thought was that would be the way God would fulfill his word. But she actually created an Ishmael, which brought her great grief. Don't ever try to make something happen that God's not doing. Let God bring about it the way he wants to. Guys, listen. In that situation too, Hagar treated Sarai very bad. She made her feel less and looked down upon her because Sarai didn't have children. I'm amazed when I look back at the women, the moms of the patriarchs, several of them. We don't know about Abraham's mom, but we know that Sarai was barren up until the age of 99. We know that Rebecca was, that was the wife of Isaac, and then I believe Jacob's wife. I may have to look back at that one, but here's the thing. Each one of these women that were about to give birth to, or it was in the plan of God for them to give birth to a patriarch, and each one of these patriarchs also prophesied. They were leaders, and they were the forefathers of a nation that would be God's people. And each one of them were brought through a barren woman. Why is that so important? I think it's important because there needed to be much prayer involved in their birthing. God is sovereign. God had a plan. God had a will. God had a purpose and what he wanted to bring about. But God works through prayer. God works through people praying. He works and brings about his kingdom through the prayers of people. It's why Jesus taught in Matthew 6, this is how you ought to pray. He's telling them, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because the things of God come to earth when we pray. So if God is wanting a patriarch, if God is wanting a prophet, if God is wanting a leader to be raised up, whether they're a political leader or they're a spiritual leader, whatever they are, he's going to move in your heart. He's going to put you in positions to cry out and pray. And don't ever think that because you're the mom, because you're the woman who very few people know about, that you're less than. In the eyes of heaven, you've done the hard work. You've prayed, you've interceded, you've given birth through prayer and intercession. You've given birth and you don't get all the glory. How many of you know who Hannah's son is? Samuel. Samuel the prophet. When she prays and prays and prays and prays year after year out of bitterness of soul, she prays. What's happening is she's literally going through that birthing process of birthing a man of God into the earth. A man who is anointed by God. This boy of hers, she gives him to the Lord from a very young age. As soon as he is weaned, she takes him to Eli the priest and she leaves him there. Now, if you think she forgot about him, you're not a mom today. She didn't forget this little boy that she had just weaned. In fact, when she released him, she did it because she made a vow to God, Lord, if you will give me a son, I will get him to you. And a razor will never touch his head. And here's what I believe. We don't get to see this, but I just know that I know that when that boy went away, that praying mom, that mom who had been developed by the bitterness that God allowed in her life, the pain, the suffering, the torment. Listen, God used those things to shape a mother into a praying mom. He used those hardships, he used the pains, he used the broken heart to shape her and mold her into a woman who knows how to cry out to heaven, to hang on to the altar and to not let go until God gives. He created, he built, he shaped this mom to be the mom of moms. This is all that we see about Hannah. It's this tiny little first couple of chapters. There's two books written about her son, 1 and 2 Samuel. He's mentioned throughout other books. He was a great man of God, a great prophet. He led great revival. In fact, by the 4th or 5th chapter, he's led the people of Israel to repent of all their sins, to destroy all their altars, to fall on foreign gods, and they begin to fast and pray to God. He brings about a revival that has not been in Israel in a long time because of the wickedness that went on with Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli. This man, this boy who was given to God, he was birthed through prayer for years. Then there was the physical, natural birth, and then his mom kept on praying because her heart missed him. She, she thought about him every day. And if she thought about him, and she knew that God's the one who gave him, I know she cried out to heaven for him day after day after day after day. Did you ever think about the mom that stands behind the great prophet Samuel? The mom that prayed and interceded so that he would have the strength to stand up against the sin and the evil and the wickedness in the world.
Things don't just happen. Things don't just happen in the world. God moves hearts to pray, and then they happen. Prayer is the key element to things.
I think you just lost me here. I'll stay behind the podium. Prayer is that important. Now I want to encourage you moms to pray. Don't ever stop praying. If you're going through a season right now, maybe with your kids, that your heart is broken, you're grieving over a trial or struggle therein, don't give up praying. Hannah prayed year after year after year after year until birth was given. I know many moms who prayed for years for their children, and their children were into adulthood before they were born again, before they returned to the Lord. Don't give up praying. Be that mom like Hannah. You may be in the background. The glory you're going to receive will be crowns in heaven. No one's going to pull you up on a stage and talk about what a great person you are. But God sees your prayers in the closet. He sees you crying out and not letting go that God wants. And that's the most important thing to remember is, what does God want? What does God want to do in your child's life? What does God want in the future of your home and your family? What does God want to bring about? What does He want your husband to be like? Or what is your future husband going to be like if you don't have one yet? What is God desiring for you? Young men, I won't totally leave you out. What kind of woman does God want for you? Because I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. If you want a prayer that is answered, you begin to look into the Scriptures and find out what is God's will. What does God want? What does God desire? When you find out what God desires, what God wants in your life, in your home, in your kids, that's what you begin to cry out to heaven. And you do not stop crying out until it breaks through and happens. Don't think that you pray one time and it should happen. You pray and you pray and you pray and you pray month after month, year after year, until things break and release into your lives. You never give up praying. Unless you think I'm taking a little bit of liberty with the Scripture, Jesus said you should pray like a widow woman who wants justice. And she goes to the king over and over and over and over and warts him until he finally gives her what she wants. Jesus says, this is how you should pray. This is how you should approach the Father. You should come to Him day after day, hour after hour, month after month, year after year, until things break and you get what God wants in this earth. Remember, this is not about you getting your will. It's not about you bugging God to get what you want. It's about you praying and giving birth to the things of God in this earth. That's what it's about. There's the mentality, there's the heart to have.
when you pray. Father, what do you want to give birth to in the earth? What do you want to give birth to in my sons and my daughters, my children, my church, my family, my home, my husband, my wife? What do you yet want to give birth to in them? And then we pray. And then we pray and we pray. And maybe you write it out. And you say, God, I believe this is your heart. I believe this is your will. I see it in your scripture. I see that you desire these things for all of us. I see that you desire. Listen, guys, if you don't know anything else to pray, you pray, Father God, I pray that my sons and my daughters would love the Lord their God. I spent some time at the lake this week, and as I was meditating on that passage, the words are actually this. Love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Comes out of Deuteronomy 6. Jesus repeats it in Matthew 22. When Jesus says it, he says, love the Lord your God, Yahweh your Elohim, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Now, if it's the first and the greatest commandment that we would love God, and I love that God breaks it down for us. He says, now listen, I want you to love me with all of your heart, all of it, all of your heart. Not only that, I want you to love me with all of your soul. Every single bit of your soul, I want it to love me. I want you to love me with all of your mind. I want you to love me with all of your strength, all of your might. Now take that and pray that for your kids. Pray that for your family. Pray that for your spouses. Pray that for your parents. Pray that for your moms. It's the first and the greatest commandment, and Jesus is the one who declared that. It's been said from the beginning, it's said to now, and I'm going to tell you something. If we become a generation that loves God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, we will be a generation that obeys God. We will be a generation that fears the Lord. We will be a generation that knows God, a generation that prays to God. And all of this comes about because of women who pray, moms who pray. Pray for your kids. Dads, you need to pray. This is upon all of us. Ian Bounds says, how can anybody say that they love God if they don't pray to God? You cannot love God if you don't pray to God. If you want to love God, and that's what my prayer was this week, and I was alone with Him, I said, Lord, I want to love You. I want to love You. I prayed that very prayer. I prayed that prayer over and over and over. That I would love the Lord my God. That I would love Yahweh, my Elohim. You know what that means in Hebrew? Yahweh is the personal name of God. It's His name. It's His name. And He says, Yahweh, your Elohim, Yahweh, your God. He says to them, I am Yahweh. That's like saying I'm Chris. I am Yahweh, your God. Amen. Don't worship any other God. I want you to love Yahweh, your Elohim. There's a beautiful thing to pray. It's the first and greatest commandment. You want to have another prayer thing? Another thing that you grab hold of the horns of the altar and you don't ever let go of? That they would love their neighbor as their self. That they would love others. That they would love their enemies. That they would love those who persecute them. That they would have hearts that overflow with love. Every act that we do should be done out of love. This is why these two things are so important, that you pray them until you give birth to this, until you begin to see it manifesting and living in the lives of your children. Moms, you have a great role. Whoever and whatever God calls you to give birth to in the way of prayer, it may be movement, it may be a person, a child in your home, an actual physical child. Maybe a child that you adopted. Maybe it may be some other thing that God has for you. You may give birth to some ministry. You may give birth to a lot of things, but you will only give birth to the things of heaven by prayer. It is the only way that you will give birth to those things. And I just want you to grasp from this tiny little passage what you're given as a mom, what you're given is not the finished work. Just as that child has to grow up through life, the child is not the finished work. You praying for God's purpose, God's will, God's vision, God's plan in their life, that's your role for the rest of your life. And it's powerful. You get to cry out to God to bring the things of heaven into the life of your children. I hope you'll take God up on that. Fathers and mothers alike, that we'd be a church that prays that God's will and kingdom wouldn't stay in heaven, but it would come down to earth. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God's word.
I thank you this morning for every heart that is recommitting themselves to you in prayer. I thank you for the moms in this room, Lord, that right now you're touching hearts. They're surrendering to you right now. You are calling hearts right now, Lord. I thank you for what you're saying right now in this room, Father. You're the living God. I thank you, Lord, that you are calling. I thank you, Father, because I know right now in this room there are women. There may be dads as well, but there are women. There are moms that are feeling and hearing the Spirit of God calling them to take a step up in prayer, calling them to intercede. They're already feeling that burning inside of their heart right now. We thank you for that burning. We thank you, Father, that your word is going to bear fruit in lives today. We thank you, Father, that what you are starting, God, it is not going to be just something that is preached and forgotten, but Father, we thank you that seeds are being cast into the hearts today that are going to bear fruit. We thank you for all those right now in this place, Father God, that are just opening up their arms, opening up their hearts and saying, God, make me a woman of prayer. Make me a man of prayer. Lord, I thank you. Give faith, release faith to this body to pray. Release faith, Father God, to believe in. Release faith, Father God, that these mamas would pray for their children no matter how tough it is, how hard it is, the times when their hearts are broken. Father, help them to not give up the righteous plan of God for their children's lives. The devil has a plan. The devil has a plan. Father, I pray that we would not stop praying.
Yes, Lord.
We would not stop praying. Prayer is bringing the power of God on this earth, and it will demolish the strongholds of the enemy. It will demolish the strongholds of the enemy. We are calling down the power of God on earth to demolish strongholds in our sons and daughters, to demolish strongholds in the lives of our families, to demolish the strongholds over marriages, to demolish the strongholds that the enemy has set up. Father God, make us a house of prayer for all nations. Make us a house of prayer, Father God. Lord Jesus, we want your kingdom to come. We want your will to be done on this earth
in this church, in this city, in our homes, in our families, and in our own hearts. As it is in heaven, we pray it be done here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen. You may be seated for just a moment. Church family, before we close out our service today, this is Jennifer Kelly. She's the chairman of our personnel committee, and she has something to share with us this morning.
Thank you. So, Frank, this is his last Sunday as our worship pastor, and so we wanted to take a few moments. I know everybody has things going on today, but we wanted to recognize him. And I have a few words. Normally I try and wing it, but I actually want to read what I wrote. By default, we have come to call the time dedicated to singing songs in church worship. But true worship is really defined by the importance of God in our daily lives. This is why Paul tells us, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." It's Romans 12:1. Worship overflows from hearts that are surrendered to Christ. While no one is perfect, and not one of us is immune to a bad day or even ailing health, Frank has a heart that is surrendered to Christ. This has been clearly evident in his obedience to the Lord during his role of worship pastor. He has dedicated his time, efforts, talents, and creativity to blend two churches, blend multiple styles and preferences, all while listening to the Lord to provide us an opportunity to enter into a time of worship each Sunday morning. We are so thankful and incredibly blessed for your 16 years of dedicated service to our church and to the Lord. And while your presence up here on this stage will be greatly missed, we are extremely excited and anxious for you and Vita to begin a fresh retired life. So come up here, we want to present you with a small token of our appreciation. You get a box. Carved out of acacia wood. It has a date that it was carved and a number, and there is not another one like it. It is individualized. And we wanted something that represented your sacrifice, worship, the heart that you have delivered songs and worship and put up with all of us who's on the worship team. I know there's, you know, blending everything. Even when you literally did not feel like it, you sat on a stool. You sacrificed to fulfill your role in the world, and we appreciate it.
Ways that you're going to use him to do ministry in this church and that role alone. And God, we just ask that you would bless him so much, Father God. We have been blessed through him, and we pray your blessing on him and on Vita as well. And especially as they go and they travel now for a little bit, we just ask that you would bless all of their steps. Give them favor everywhere they go and bring them back safely to serve you here in this church and community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Although I do
need it.